Hi, this is KXRW Radio Vancouver, Making Connections. I'm Barb Seaman. We're going to start today in Afghanistan with these news clips from August 2021.
The Taliban blitz across Afghanistan is accelerating.
The scenes of total disarray at Kabul's airport last week shocked
but
the world.
But as U.S. troops leave, the Taliban could return.
Last night
over
in Kabul,
100,000 Afghans
the United
make it out,
States
onto
ended.
New lives in the U.S.
20 years of war
now
in Afghanistan.
That Americans honor those efforts by welcoming the Afghans who they helped get here.
Well, a group of people in East Clark County came together to give a warm welcome to a few of those refugees. I talked with Janet Grove of the Camas Friends Church about their experience.
First, I want to say that I've had an interest in refugees going back a long time. My mother was involved in helping some refugee families at her church, and there is a Vietnamese family with a number of children who the kids all call her grandma. So I've been exposed to that for a long time. But during the Trump years, I was so upset by how people wanting to come to this country were being treated. And it really felt like a betrayal to me of what America is supposed to be. And when I saw that Trump was not going to win re-election and we were going to have a new administration, I anticipated that things were going to change and refugees were going to be welcome again. So I started reaching out and making inquiries. I also talked about it with my church. I'm a member of Camas Friends Church, and I'm, which it was just the Quakers, and I'm right now the clerk of the Peace and Social Concerns Committee. So I see our job as a committee as finding ways for the church as a whole to put our values into action in the world. And I brought my concern for refugees to the committee, and they were encouraging and supportive. We talk about seasoning a concern, bringing it to other people, and talking about the thinking it through and considering what to do next, discerning what to do. I also reached out, well, I found out that the refugee organization in Clark County is Lutheran Community Services. And there are 9 different organizations, I think, nationally, but they are the one that works in this county. So I reached out to them, and at the time, they hardly had any staff. During the Trump years, the flow of refugees went down to a trickle, and their programs sort of atrophied. But they were interested in possibly ramping up again, and I kept in touch with them. And when Afghanistan started to fall apart, we were in a position to start taking action.
Is this normally how things work within your church? If somebody has an idea about what to do, you season the concern. Could you just tell me more about that?
Quakers historically have a method of decision making about coming to unity to be able to act as a group. And when we have our business meetings, for example, Quakers don't vote. We discuss until there's a sense of the meeting of unity. And that's important to me. I take it seriously. And I try to help strengthen that within my meeting. So it's important to me to try and go through Quaker process. And when you achieve that unity, when it feels like everybody's together and they're on the same page and everybody's supportive, it's a really powerful feeling. So since I was in the position of being on the committee, I tried to go through Quaker process, and I think I succeeded in that, or we all succeeded in doing that, and so I felt good.
When the U.S. began its withdrawal from Afghanistan, and it became evident that we would soon have an influx of refugees. How did your church mobilize? What did you do next?
We sort of had a plan in place before that happened. As that was happening, we said, okay, now's the time, let's do this. It felt serendipitous that we were ready to go right as it happened. So the first thing we did was we began assembling restart kits, which is something the Lutheran Community Services had put together. They have, I think, 8 or 9 different kits. For example, there's a kitchen one and a kitchen two. There's a bathroom kit, a cleaning kit, a baby kit, a bedding kit. And they just have a list of items. They want you to purchase the items new and put them together in a big plastic tub and label it up so that when a refugee family comes, they can just give them one of each of the kits to have items for their household. So the first thing we did was we put it out to the whole church to assemble items and made a whole set of restart kits. And that was a great activity to get everybody involved. I printed out spreadsheets and you could just sign up for as few items or as many items as you wanted.
So you had these kits ready to go. And then how did your group get matched with a family when the time came?
Well, the other thing we had to do is we had to get our members approved as volunteers. The Lutherans have a process where you fill out an application and they do a background check. And they had some orientation videos that you watched. And when we had, I think, 5 or 6 folks who had been through the process. And I got a call one day from the volunteer coordinator who said, hey, or actually she emailed me and said, let's have a phone call. I think I have a family for you. We had a conversation and wrote down as much as she knew. And frankly, there's a lot she didn't know. She knew there was a mother and father and she knew there was a man and a woman and 2 children, but she wasn't even, there was something that was weird about the paperwork. She wasn't even sure they were the mother and father. And she didn't know if they spoke any English, and she didn't know if they had any job skills, and so many things that she didn't know about the family. The Lutherans found a place for them to stay when they first arrived, and they told us they'll be arriving at the airport on this date. And our jobs at first, we met them at the airport. We stocked their apartment with food and some basic toiletries. They gave us a shopping list for that, and met them. Well, you know, we met them briefly at the airport, and then the next day we went and visited and talked with them and discovered that they are quite educated and they speak understandable English are just lovely people. And so that, you know, I think a family that where it's difficult to communicate basic things, I think that would be much more difficult to connect with. But because we were able to talk with them and share stories, and it led quickly to some pretty meaningful relationships between our folks and them.
How old are the kids?
The boy is 7 and the girl, I believe, is 11.
Okay. And they live in Vancouver now?
Yes. So for several weeks, they were in an Airbnb. The Lutherans have really been struggling to find affordable apartments for everyone in Vancouver. But they did find them a good apartment. It's only a couple blocks from Clark College in downtown there. And when they found them, the apartment, we only had a couple days notice. And we needed to help get the apartment furnished. The Lutherans have been collecting furniture. Yeah. So several of us took trucks over there and loaded up furniture that the Lutherans had, but they didn't have everything. And one thing they didn't have bed frames. So it was, we had one extra day between when we found out we needed beds and when they were going to need to sleep on the beds. So one woman went and bought an IKEA bed, someone else had a bed in their house, and then I got a third bed off of Craigslist. So we were able to get them all beds, so they all had beds to sleep on their first night.
Wow.
So that was the biggest scramble, was when they moved into the apartment, for sure.
Yeah. What else can you tell me about the family?
So the husband had worked in a bank, worked for a bank in Afghanistan. It sounds like it was a bank that was started up and was successful during the early years of the American occupation, but that the bank started to fail. And he jumped ship a few years ago and started his own little grocery store because the bank wasn't going to work out. His wife has a college education. She found work. Oh, she was originally trained as a computer technology person. She worked for several different international NGOs in Afghanistan. She worked for a German organization and also, I think, an American aid group. She also did some work in the evenings. I'm not sure if it was paid work, but she worked organizing other women, and she ran some kind of groups where she would get together with women who were having various sorts of household troubles or family troubles, and help them figure out how to work. So, in terms of women empowerment and women's rights, she has some real history working in that area, and it seems like she is interested to get involved in that sort of work here as well. And just one thing that took a long time is, for a long time, we had not had the opportunity to introduce our family to other Afghan families. And I think the Lutherans maybe try to maintain privacy and not just make all the information public. So we just hadn't really had the opportunity to bring her together. But just the other day, someone did organize a big meet and greet for several of the Afghan women, and they exchanged information. And I'm hoping that the mother in our family is going to become a little bit of a leader among this new expat group in our country. I don't want to invade the privacy too much, mm-hmm. but they, especially because of the work that the mother was doing there, she threatens she's a threat to the Taliban, and yeah. and they that's a big reason why they did not feel safe there at all. They definitely were in hiding after the Taliban came to power. They fled to Kabul, and they had a very harrowing ordeal trying to get on a plane in the Kabul airport, and they spent several nights. I think the husband told me that they couldn't pay you any amount of money to sleep the way we slept and live the way we lived in those days when we were trying to get on a plane and get out of Kabul. It sounds like a very harrowing ordeal. They also had a close call with the Taliban trying to take their son away from them.
Wow.
And they're clearly traumatized by that experience.
Yeah, no doubt. We need to take a quick break now. We'll have more conversation in just a minute.
A big thank you to our founding partners at Morel Inc. Print and Marketing for their ongoing support of community radio. Morel Inc. is a woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop that since 1993 has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative printing and marketing solutions. Morel Inc.'s experienced staff creates partnerships with their clients and uses the latest technologies to meet their needs. More information about which of Morel Inc.'s products, printing, and marketing strategies will best serve your next project and budget can be found at morelinc.com. That's MOREL INK.com.
KXRW would like to thank Craft Cannabis, our exclusive cannabis sponsor, for supporting our radio community. Their wide variety of products range from edibles, pre-rolls, concentrates, vapes, CBD topicals, tinctures, and much more. Craft Cannabis for 21 and over now has two locations in Vancouver. The newest shop is on Andreessen Road off Patton Parkway next to Home Depot. The Mill Plain location is in the Heights Shopping Center. Ordering options include online, in-person, curbside, and express window touchless pickup to better serve you. Hours and information available at craftcannabis.com.
You're listening to a 2017 performance by the Afghan Women's Orchestra in Davos, Switzerland. This is the first generation of young women to study music in over 30 years of war there. I'm Barb Seaman, chatting with Janet Grove of the Camas Friends Church. The meeting mobilized last year to provide for a family of refugees who came to the area in December of 2021 after being forced to leave their home when the U.S. officially withdrew from Afghanistan. We're having this conversation in the beginning of March 2022. How are they doing now after they've been in the U.S. for a few months and are kind of starting to settle in?
Some of the services that they're eligible for were a bit of a hurdle because there haven't been very many refugees arriving in Clark County for a number of years. Some of the agencies didn't seem to know how to do what they were supposed to do. For example, the Human Services Division of Washington, I forget the acronym, refers them to a program where they can, to two programs, one where they can get job training and support, and another where they can have English classes. But for a period of weeks, it seems like the social service workers didn't know that they could or should or how to refer the folks to that program. And it took folks, from the Lutheran Community Services tracking it down, and ultimately a volunteer on the phone telling the folks, you know, yes, you have to do it, and this is how you do it, and here's the code, right? Like telling the people how to do their jobs because they hadn't figured it out yet. So hopefully those sorts of wrinkles are getting worked out, and it'll get easier going forward. But while it seemed to us at the time like it was taking forever, looking back, they were able to quickly access all the financial supports that they're entitled to and have been regularly going to medical appointments. And we have several members of our church who are not working during the day, who have been able to take them to all kinds of medical appointments and appointments with social services, and take them on errands for for food and other things. Another of our members did some incredible legwork and helped the husband to get a job. He's currently got a job at the Walmart Supercenter, making, I think, a pretty impressive wage. And he is proud of the quality of work he's doing, and his supervisor appreciates it.
That's great.
And the wife is taking English classes, and she says the other women in the class are mostly Russian speakers because she's a more advanced English student. And the children are going to school, and they're both in an elementary school that's walking distance from their house.
Nice.
And are in a class with, they're the only Afghan students at their school. Mm-hmm. And so they're integrated in the classroom. And I think it's a challenge. There's a lot that they don't understand. Mm-hmm. But I think they have an hour a day of pull out English instruction and are just learning to be integrated with their peers. I know the daughter is impressing people just with her kindness towards her classmates. That's able to be communicated even if the language skills aren't there.
I'm thinking about the two different kinds of needs. Like, you guys provided them with just, you know, the starter for the kitchen and, you know, all of the stuff you need. But then there's like a whole, you know, all the emotional needs must be overwhelming to try to figure out how to help them.
Well, just to be present. Anytime you go to their house, it is very hard to weasel out from under being offered a meal and at the very least a cup of tea, but they're going to try and feed you for sure. And when you sit with them and spend time, just there are so many things that they can share and to talk about what happened in their life and the mix of the joyful and the difficult, and it feels good to be able to share and learn. We are hopeful that they can also receive, you know, some professional services for the trauma. And I hope there's more in the future than what they've received so far.
How about this question? What's been the biggest challenge for them?
I suppose I fear that the biggest challenges are ahead. In the training we received, they describe the sort of up and down of a refugee, that at first there's a big relief and the excitement of being in a new place, and then the down of realizing how hard it's really going to be, right? And then as things start to become more familiar, maybe there's another leap up in feeling like I'm making accomplishments, and then realizing once again how far you have to go before it's truly your home. And so I fear they have some of those low points, you know, that they'll have to pass through in the future. I talked about how the group of women has gotten together and is talking. There is a big range among the women who are coming here in terms of how much education, how much English, how much freedom they had when they lived in Afghanistan. So while the Taliban was repressed under the American occupation there, the underlying conservative impulse to deny rights to women didn't completely disappear when the Taliban went away. So with such a wide range from college educated to illiterate, you know, the woman who we're supporting, I'd love to think that she could become a helper to other Afghan women who don't have as much education and opportunity as she's had, and helping these women with their different values and their different religious rules adjust to life in America, I think is a real challenge. And we're just beginning to think about how to navigate that.
It must just be such culture shock for these families and for the women especially too, coming to a place where there's so much more freedom and everything's so open.
Sure. Well, here's a beautiful story. So the husband has gotten a driver's license, and you know, he is working far from his house, so he needs to drive to get to his job. And he also did drive a car in Afghanistan, so he didn't have to learn. We had to learn the American rules, because you don't cross the lines in America, which was something is not true in Afghanistan. But his wife is also interested in learning to drive. And we said, you know, he can teach her now that he has a license and she can get a permit. And she is excited about being able to learn to drive.
Something she wouldn't have been able to do over there. Is that correct?
Do
women drive in Afghanistan?
I think that she could have driven during the years of when the Taliban was not in power, but it was just not something that she had done. And I don't think it was very common. The story I heard from another one of our church members, though, is when they were having this conversation about her driving, and her daughter was there, her 11-year-old daughter, and she got excited and says, when I am old enough, I can learn to drive a car, and then she can live her mother's dream. And, well, that brings tears to my eyes. It really is shocking how backwards the Taliban were and how poorly women were treated in that regime. I've read other things like The Kite Runner, or there was a movie called The Breadwinner, and they contain anecdotes that just seem so extreme. Like, that must be an exaggeration. It couldn't really have been that bad, but it really was that bad. It was incredibly restrictive and just astonishing that people, a whole society, treated women that way.
I would like to say thank you for telling me the story of how your meeting came to help this Afghan family. It's been really nice to just hear what all was involved, and I wish your family lots of luck in the future.
Well, thank you. You know, there, the original batch of Afghans who fled from the Kabul airport and spent months at military bases, they've cleared out the bases now, and those folks have all been settled in cities for the most part right now. But the refugee problem of the world is far from over. There are so many refugees right now arriving in Europe from the Ukraine, but there are also tens of thousands of refugees in camps around the world, in Africa and Asia and other places. I hope that our country continues to do its part to welcome people. And I hope your listeners consider if they could band together with a group of friends or a group from their church and get involved and help a family. It's really a wonderful experience, and it is so important. When I think about what is worthwhile about the United States, what our country stands for, what there is to be proud of, the way that we are a nation of immigrants and welcome people is one of the things that makes me most proud to be an American, and it is a privilege to be a part of it.
Many thanks to Janet Grove with the Camas Friends Church for telling the story of how they've been helping to resettle an Afghan family in the area. You can learn more about the Quaker meeting in Camas by going to camasfriends.org. If you'd like to get involved in helping newcomers from Afghanistan, take a look at the website for Lutheran Community Services Northwest. That's lcsn.org. And thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you'd like to know more about KXRW Radio Vancouver, please go to kxrw.fm. I'm Barb Seaman. This is Making Connections. Take care.